Here is an urgent message from Lumber Liquidators. Home improvements are still a good investment, and one of the smartest updates you can make is adding hardwood flooring. Lumber Liquidators is the largest specialty flooring retailer in the U.S. that provides pre-finished and unfinished hardwood floors at incredibly low prices. In fact, their global buying power lets them negotiate directly with the mills and pass the savings on to you. If you want hardwood flooring at a fraction of the cost, trust Lumber Liquidators. Call in the next 10 minutes for a flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality flooring like solid hardwood, laminate, bamboo, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a transferable 100-year warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and a flooring project list to help you find the right floor for you. Call and get a free guide and catalog at 800-560-8470 now. 800-560-8470. That's 800-560-8470.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program. This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We have a great show today. We're going to be talking beer for an hour. I can't wait. DC Beer Week is August 12th to the 18th, ergo our theme for today. And, you know, if you guys think we're just going to be talking about things like Bud or saying, give me a Heine, you can forget it, because the DC's regional beer scene is exploding with fascinating and delicious beers of all kinds, some that even taste like wine that we've tried. They're great. And we've got lots of conversation about brews and breweries and beer meisters today. Nick, why don't you tell everybody who's here?
Well, we're really going to have a beer roundtable today, which I'm so excited about because the DC beer scene is exploding and we have the people behind it here in studio. So with us today is Teddy Folkman, chef owner of Granville Moores and co-founder of DC Beer Week, and Jeff Wells, specialty account sales manager of Dops Inc., and also the co-founder of DC Beer Week. Both of them have been on the show lots of times in the past. Dave Coleman is back. He is the founder and brewer of Three Star Brewing Company. Bauert Lauer he is the head brewer of the District Chop House and Brewery. He's new to the show, but it's good to have him here. And Greg Engert is in.
Who?
Engert. I know. Who the hell is that? Beverage director at Neighborhood Restaurant Group, and he's brought with him good friend and chef of Birch and Barley, Kyle Bailey. So we are going to be sipping lots of beers. They're already all spread out all over the studio and talking about DC Beer Week.
So why don't we start with Jeff Wells?
I think that's a good idea.
Jeff, beer used to be pretty much a blue-collar drink, and very few stores or bars or restaurants sold anything but a Bud or a Michelob or something like that. And all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but the scene has changed. It's been a rapid, accelerated evolution to something very different. And what used to be just the domain of home brewers is now, craft brews are now everywhere. So I guess the place to start is to start at the beginning. How did that happen?
Well, first off, it's great to be here, and thank you guys for having us.
Of course, it's great to be here.
And really, kind of what beer is kind of what you guys do. It's all about the culinary revolution, about flavor and sophistication, and that's what's really gone on in the beer world. Just like the restaurants keep getting better, the wines keeps getting better, the beer scene has just exploded in Washington, D.C., and D.C. is a really educated and cultured city, so beer is cultured education, I should say.
Well, let me ask you both of you guys, when did this beer revolution begin nationally? I mean, you know, for so long, I think we saw lots of, for those who didn't know about beer, you know, if you did go into the store, you saw the same beers. I mean, I think maybe Stella Artois was like the nicest beer that you would see for those who didn't know any better. But now you can go into almost any beer shop and see this vast array of IPAs and Belgian style beers. I mean, it's totally different. So where would you say this began?
I don't really know. It's hard to say exactly where it began, but a lot of it had to do with the importers or the distributors bringing in these ales that were not only different. We haven't had them before. We had never seen, you know, West Coast IPAs or anything like that, you know, 7-8 years ago. Well, 10 years ago, I should say. Mm-hmm. I hadn't, at least. Well, maybe 12. I've been drinking too much. But no, it was one of those things.
Don't
where...
worry, this is only radio.
Right.
No, what really happened, I feel, is that people really wanted a good product. I feel really when this whole thing spiked was during the recession, where people really couldn't afford that $50, $60 bottle of wine, mm-hmm. but you could enjoy an amazing six-pack of beer for only $12.
Right.
Well, you remember the Rathskeller used to be the only place where you could go and, you know, look at a menu and you know, and...
Craig was there, right?
Yeah.
Brick,
what do they have? Brickskeller, sorry. And it had, well, I was too drunk to read the name. But they had like, what, 350 or 400
no,
beers?
No. They
here, you got to speak in front of the mic, please. That's okay.
Excuse me, Jeffrey. They had like over 1,000, 1,200.
Whatever. I only got as far as 350 before I ordered. But the
would
point
you call
was,
them quality beers? Were they considered quality beers?
There were a lot of quality beers, but there were also...
Because it was kind of gimmicky,
it was just
right?
Kind of anything they could get their hands on. So there's lots of just fizzy yellow pilsners from overseas.
Like, I remember the pineapple beer was everybody's like, oh, you have to try the pineapple beer, and it was terrible.
I mean, but there was a lot of great stuff on the list as well.
I mean, that was it. That's where you went if you wanted something different. And I don't know, you know, I don't know that I agree about the recession only because what happened was you had a lot of people, home brewing started to be a thing back in the, I think, early 90s. All of a sudden, everybody you talked to was, you know, was trying to brew at home. And I think what you got, you know, is people... Dave, didn't you tell me you started off as a home brewer, Dave Coleman?
Yeah, actually, my business partner, Mike McGarvey, and I started home brewing around 5 years ago. And it was really a hobby where we were trying all these great beers at bars, coming over from the West Coast, Cali, and the Pacific Northwest. And we were kind of questioning ourselves as to why there was nothing being brewed of that caliber here in the nation's capital to represent craft brewery and that craft and the art, basically, behind making full-flavored complex ales. So we started homebrewing and basically got pretty good at it and decided to take a stab at making it in the big time.
Well, I mean, so net, what you've got is all of a sudden beer is on everybody's mind, and that brings us back to DC Beer Week. This is the second year?
Third year.
Fourth year.
Fourth. Oh, God. 4 years. So how did you guys start it? Do I want to know? Can we say this on air?
I think really what it was really to show how far we've gotten in the DC beer culture. I myself have been in the business legally 15 years.
And
legally? I've traveled all up and down the East Coast. And
am I the only one that got that?
Right.
And I was just truly amazed at where Washington, D.C. has become, and really as a culinary nightlife destination as well. And really, me and Teddy, and the thing that I always loved about D.C. is that it has a sense of camaraderie that really doesn't exist anywhere else. So we really wanted to highlight...
As far as what? In what way, the camaraderie?
Really, the like service...
It works with one another.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't compete with one another. We actually play well with one another, mostly, mm-hmm. especially in the beer community.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like another great thing about the beer community versus sometimes the wine community. Beer people are a little bit more approachable.
Okay.
Well, beer is more plebeian no matter how good it is, and wine is more patrician, and there's a little bit of a snootiness associated to wine.
Like both those words.
Well, all right, everybody, as long as we're on the radio, Nikki, I'll define them for you later, if you don't mind. But seriously, I mean, beer is, you know, roll up your sleeves and everybody sit around and watch a football game. How many times you sit around watching football drinking, you know...
Wine? Champagne?
Impudent
cocktails?
Wine, you know,
I can think
rosé.
Little
I
Prosecco. So I think, you know, I mean, I think it lends itself to more just, you know, like hanging together.
All right. Well, let's talk about Beer Week, though. I want to just say, because I want to get some of these big events that are coming up.
I don't. So. I want to talk about hanging together.
Okay. Can we talk about some of the big events that you guys have coming up and how it's evolved over the years?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, again, when we started this out, we basically just got together our friends.
Mm-hmm.
The people
in this room,
a couple other people, and just said, hey, guys, we're thinking about getting a week together during the slowest time of the year for the restaurants where we don't normally have business. And, you know, we want to start submit, let's just do a beer week so that these businesses who are usually suffering during that slow August summer doldrums can actually have a little bit more of a pop in their sales, and also basically to introduce craft beer to everyone, as many people as we can.
And so was the idea to do beer and food or just beer? Now, all these events are so many beer dinners, it's totally different. I mean, how did it evolve to what's going on this week?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of wanted to highlight beer's role in pretty much all those things in terms of even music venues, restaurants, bars. We've done all kinds of interesting events throughout the years, and the craft beer cruise, games involving beer. And it's been fantastic, and it's really grown and exploded every year.
And so what are some of the highlights for this week?
You've got that cruise on the Odyssey. It sounds awesome.
Is that sold out?
Not yet. But tickets are going pretty quickly.
Okay.
That's a craft beer cruise in the Odyssey. We're going to have over 50
that's
different...
That's a kickoff, right?
The kickoff party,
on the 12th.
Yeah. 40 different breweries, over 50 different beers,
everybody
food, DJ,
going?
Dancing.
Everybody yes. going? Everybody going?
And how many of you will start on the Odyssey and end up swimming in the...
Oh, <we're straight. laughs>
you got a lot of hands raised.
No, we've got...
What happens on the Odyssey?
A great, great time.
The answer is what happens.
Is that a dumb question? Yeah. I set myself up for that one.
but I think we got a lot of cool things going on, and I'm just going to let a couple people talk about what they're doing at their individual establishments, because we got some of the best in the city involved in this. Mm-hmm. So I'll let Dave Coleman start.
Okay, great. Dave?
So, for me, like last year when we were on here, last year it was all about the cruise. It's really, for me, the highlight of the week. It really starts it off on a great note. It really brings everyone together, get to share some great beers. But as the week goes on, all over town, whether it's northwest, northeast, southwest, doesn't matter, all four quadrants, people are really getting into hosting events that are showcasing great craft beers. I know for myself, I've got a full booked week for 3 Stars because DC Beer Week's actually following our launch, which is going to be with Greg over at Church Key on Friday and then, or on Thursday the 9th.
That's the real start of DC Beer Week.
It is for me. Right? That's when my liver starts, at least. But then
August 9th
at Church Key, starting at what time, Greg?
So this is like a jump up. We're starting it early. We're kicking
it off. Greg, do you want to say Church Key once more? Church Key.
Church Key.
But he's really here.
3 Stars Brewing. Launch. But then throughout the week, everyone across town is really going to have like great events. Events highlighting, be it local brewers or brewers in from far, be it West Coast, East Coast, doesn't matter. It's all about really just showing the community here in DC and how we all support each other and really highlight and try to motivate and kind of blow up the craft beer world here in DC and make it just that much more spectacular.
So can you just tell us quickly about the event on the 9th?
The event on the night, the Church Key, is the official launch of
14th
Street. It's the official launch of 3 Stars Brewing Company. Mm-hmm. We are DC's handcrafted artisanal ale house.
Okay.
We will be showcasing our initial 3 brews, which will be the Pandemic Porter, which is an imperial porter. We will have the Southern Belle, which is a imperial brown ale, which I will be pouring for you here in a minute.
Excellent.
And then we will also have the Urban Farmhouse, which is our modern take on a traditional Belgian Saison.
All right. Well, why don't you pour that beer? Because I'd love for everybody in the studio to taste it, and we can all sort of dissect it and talk about it.
But, critique it.
Barrett, I want to move on to you. You poured us something today. This is like juice. I don't even know how to explain this. This is nothing beer-like.
Well, it's not a finished beer yet.
So tell us about what you've poured.
Correct, Nick. This is the Solidarity Saison that is just 1/6 of the actual finished product.
All right. For those who don't know what a Saison is, can you educate, please?
Saison means season in French, and Greg, feel free to jump in here anytime, but it is a farmhouse ale and a nice, fruity, light body, tends to finish kind of dry, tend to be lower in hop character, but just nice refreshing beer in this time of year.
So now what are you going to do with this Saison that you're making?
So like I said, this is 1/6 of our final product. So we have 5 other breweries that in the DC area that are brewing a Saison as well. And I am going to actually blend all of the beers on premise at the District Chop House.
Is that why it's called Solidarity?
Correct.
Because everybody's drinking.
Very good. Somebody took his SAT.
Let me
this
say
morning.
Patrician and plebeian again.
I have to add, and you're not going to believe this. We're going to be debuting. Well, the Solidarity Saison will be debuting on the cruise.
Okay.
Right? And then, the next night, Monday night, beginning of DC Beer Week, we'll be showing it off at Church Key.
Oh my God, that's shocking.
And Birch and Barley.
And throughout the week.
And Greg, where is Church Key?
And throughout the week, at a number of every single night of the week, the Solidarity will be kind of on the road at a different bar. okay. Throughout DC.
I just want to say, I'm just watching all the people walk by the studio, like all the men at WTOP are walking by, like, what is going on in that studio?
Get your own show, suckers.
All right. This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to sip some of these delicious beers, and then we're going to discuss them with you when we get back. We'll be right back.
Like farmers markets? None's better than the fabulous Central Farm Markets in downtown Bethesda, at Bethesda Elementary, and in Rockville's Mid-Pike Plaza. Each has 40-plus vendors with huge selections of local natural meats, poultry, organic produce, cheeses, plus yummy pastries, pies, cakes, fresh breads, even seafood and more. Want prepared foods to go? They got that too. Bring the family, bring the dog to Central Farm Markets Sunday in Bethesda and Saturdays and Thursdays in Rockville. Visit centralfarmmarkets.com for details.
Federal News Radio, available on demand at federalnewsradio.com and on your smartphone with the free TuneIn Radio app.
federalnewsradio.com, your one-stop shop for all things federal. Listen daily to interviews with federal managers and government contractors. Read Mike Causey's daily federal report, or just stop by for an update on the latest news affecting the federal community. federalnewsradio.com, your source for federal news now.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple: to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today. Or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we are talking beer. Barrett Lauer's here with us. He's the head brewer at the District Chop House and Brewery. And Barrett, you were talking about the Solidarity Saison that a number of breweries are, I guess, creating components for, and you're going to mix them all together into some mysterious chemical, right?
Correct. So we've got Gordon Biersch is brewing one. Let's see, Three Stars, Capital City, Chocolate City, DC Brow, and Mad Fox. And
now, is everybody brewing it in the same way, or everybody's looking to pick up different notes in what they're doing?
Different notes, different ingredients, different yeast, everything. It's a real big kind of mishmash.
So is this an experiment? Nobody knows what the final thing will taste like?
Exactly, and that's what makes it fun.
Can I volunteer to...
Well, I'm just curious. Can it come out bad? Can it miss?
No, it won't. Not with
Barrett
quality,
on the stick.
Not with the quality of brewers in
the
area.
So you're mixing it. You're the mixer.
Correct, yes.
So will you sort of tell us about like how you'll be this mad scientist? Will you just sort of like taste them all and be like, okay, I'm going to take a little bit of this and a little bit of that? How will you do it?
Everybody's bringing a barrel.
Okay.
And it is going to be split evenly. Basically, everybody brings two kegs.
Is that just what you're telling them?
A barrel's 31 gallons. They bring two kegs and we... put all the beer in one tank.
Okay.
I'll carbonate it, and which means add some CO2,
okay,
some bubbles, and let it sit overnight. And we'll keg it up the following day, and it'll ship out to different bars throughout the town. Greg mentioned it'll be on the cruise. It will be at the Church Key Birch and Barley.
Because we haven't said it enough. We should say it one more time.
Yeah, exactly. Meridian Pint. It'll also be at the Chop House.
Okay.
And
there's no chance it's going to be on Calvert Place in Kensington, Maryland.
No.
It'll be at Granville Moore's.
Let's talk about
Big Hunt.
Let's talk about your... Kesk night that you're doing. This is at the District Chop House?
Correct.
Okay, let's hear all about it.
What is that? That's the 16th, right?
Correct. That is Thursday night, the 16th. And Kesk Ale, if you're not familiar, is naturally carbonated beer that is unfiltered and served at cellar temperature, which is about 55 degrees. So I brought a little miniature cask here of a very popular beer that we do at the District Chop House called the Bourbon Stout. Mm-hmm. So it is oatmeal stout, aged in a bourbon barrel and served via hand pump, or beer engine,
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Exactly. So it is mechanically drawn versus pushed with CO2.
Oh.
So all the beer never comes in contact with CO2. So it doesn't, it's basically lightly carbonated, which, and also served at a, cellar temperature, which is 55 degrees.
Which is warmer than most beers.
Which accentuates flavors. Basically, the warmer something is, the more flavors come through.
Mm-hmm.
The colder, the less flavor.
So when you see those commercials for Coors beer and how cold it is, it's really not selling anything.
No, it is. It is. That's what it's got
it's
going for.
It's masking the taste.
Just, there's no flavor there. So it's just clean, refreshing.
Yeah, but they have a really cool train.
and Blue Mountains.
And Blue Mountains. Mm. Yeah.
All right. Well, Greg, let's talk a little bit about, just to piggyback on what Barrett was talking about, about carbonation in beer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't know that you added carbonation. I didn't know it was necessary.
Most beers are forced carbonated, yes.
They are.
Yes, absolutely.
And so let's talk about Blue Jacket and what you're doing there.
Well, let's say what Blue Jacket is. Well, Blue Jacket's a new restaurant over by the stadium.
It's not open yet.
No.
Coming in September, right?
No, I think 2013, we'll say.
September 2013?
No. We're hoping, I think, March 2013. Blue Jacket is that it's a restaurant, a bar, and a brewery that's going to be down in the Yards area near National Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
We're really psyched about it. Kyle Bailey, the executive chef at Birch and Barley and Church Key, who's standing next to me right now, is going to be the chef there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Megan Parisi is the brewmaster, and she's actually not here today because she's off brewing. She's great. She's from Cambridge Brewing Company. She was the head brewer there for 8 years.
Okay.
And she's been busy, and I've been busy with her kind of traveling around and brewing a lot of collaboration beers and things like that. So,
I mean, how many beers do you imagine Blue Jacket's going to ultimately have that are house-made?
House-made?
Yeah.
A lot. We're designing the system so that...
That's really accurate. That gives me a really good idea of what you're talking about. less than 10, more than 20?
We're going to serve, at all times, we'll have 20 beers on tap.
That are
at the
yours?
Restaurant. No, 15 will be ours.
Okay.
And kind of more, in the DC scene, we're going to have 5 guest taps always.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of local stuff, from Chop House and DC Brow, 3 Stars,
sure.
and things like that rotating through. So we want this to be just a phenomenal restaurant and bar that happens to have a lot of cool beers being brewed on site.
Okay. And what are some of the flavors of beers that you're looking for? Like what are the kinds of styles?
Everything and anything all the time.
Okay.
It's basically this whole, it really came out of the idea that, with Church Key, we were constantly rotating and showing off any and all flavors we can find out there, just
mm-hmm.
phenomenal craft brewed flavors. So we're trying to do that in-house.
Okay. And this, Kyle, you're going to be doing the menu at Blue Jacket?
Yes.
I mean, you're already doing this majorly beer-infused menu over at Birch and Barley and Church Key. How are you going to do the next menu? I mean, what's the evolution over to Blue Jacket?
Just a lot less sleep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't talking about you personally, man. I was talking about the menu.
Of course. It's going to be...
They put you in a video, and now they think you're like, you're
I'm
a star.
So cool,
I know.
The menu is going to be a lot like Birch and Barley, kind of a cross between Birch and Barley and Church Key,
mm-hmm.
Where it's a lot of fun. It's convivial service. Really great house-made product all the time, and it kind of goes hand-in-hand with the beer, with a constantly rotating list of these really cool house-made beers.
Okay. And, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Greg, go ahead.
The other cool thing is that...
Can somebody
get
a picture of that,
the
please?
Kitchen
okay.
And, the kitchen and the...
Aww.
Thank you. Thank you, sweetheart. The kitchen and the brewery are going to be kind of one in the same space too. We have
mm-hmm.
this cool brewer's pantry we're designing where, local and fresh seasonal ingredients will be incorporated into the dishes as well as into the food. And actually, the beer that we brought today is one that Megan Parisi, our brewmaster, brewed out at the brewery in Southern California.
Okay.
And they use some locally grown Italian plums that are pureed. It's a pound per gallon, actually. Into the beer. So incorporation of food, but also looking to craft beers that go excellently with food.
Well, okay. I just want to make sure that we orient anybody who just joined us here on Foodie and the Beast. DC Beer Week is next week, and we have some
the 12th through the 18th.
They may look like a scary bunch, but they are some of DC's leading beer experts. They don't scare me at all,
right.
Except maybe Greg Engert. And no, seriously, these are some of the people that are leading the way.
Well,
to
Kyle's vicious with his new tattoos.
Me.
I am talking, young lady. To a new beer culture here in D.C. We were just talking about Blue Jacket, which is Neighborhood Restaurant Group's new restaurant and brewery that's coming up
And we're getting a sample of what's to come. Is that
right.
true?
But I want to go back to some of the events for DC Beer Week. Teddy, you've got a bunch of stuff going on at Granville Moore's. What is it? Oh my gosh, it's Allagang. Is that one of your events?
Yeah, actually.
Did I even say that right?
You said it perfectly.
Awesome.
Oh my Gang and Allagash are two of the top Belgian style breweries in the country. And fortunately enough, we have these wonderful distributors in the area that bring us this beer, you know, Dops, Legends, Premium, Hop and Wine. And they're Allagash's Dops brand. And Brewery Oh My Gang, of course, is the one that I'm a culinary ambassador for. So we're going to combine the two. Oh My Gang, it's Oh My Gash, it's Allagang. And we're going to be doing two beers per course. And the beers will either be incorporated into the food, and then the other one will be paired with that dish, or they'll just be both be complementing, or they'll both be part of the dish. So we're really going to infuse the beers into the flavor profile of the dish in the kitchen.
All right, I got a question. No, I got a question.
All right.
I want to throw this out to the whole crew. All this beer mixing, like the combination of beers, is this a new thing? Because I've never heard of it before, and it sounds like there's so much of that going on. I mean, what's with the mad scientist stuff in beers?
We're always looking for cool and new ingredients to use in the kitchen, and beer's been used in kitchens for an awfully long time. But now with the availability of all these great Belgian beers and these great craft beers that are incorporating these amazing different flavor profiles from sour to sweet to bitter, utilizing them in the cooking process, whether it's a brining, a marinating, you know, putting it into a sauce or any of those things, are really becoming commonplace in the kitchen. It's becoming just as... Just as, you know, use it just as much as a white wine or a red wine.
Okay. This is really good. What am I drinking?
Well,
I'm delicious.
Trying to keep us, while my wife gets snookered over there, I'm trying to keep us grounded. Let's jump in with what website people are going to go to get information and get tickets, because we're talking about it and they're wondering. Fire away.
DCBeerWeek.net.
Okay. And how many events are going on totally?
We don't have any idea right now.
Okay.
In all honesty, they've started coming in waves.
Right. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. Last year we had 160.
I'll assume
we'll be about there or a little higher this year.
Okay.
Yeah, our idea isn't to have like thousands and thousands of events. It's to have great events.
All right. So, well, there are a couple listed here as a tap takeover. What is that? A robe tap takeover?
Try saying that twice.
You say it twice. At Pizzeria Paradiso, does that mean that that's all they'll be serving that night is rogue beer?
Correct. It's a total tap takeover, meaning they have 28
say
different...
Say that fast three times.
Total tap takeover. Total tap takeover. They have 28 different draft beers at the two Pizzeria Paradiso DC locations, and actually it's going to be all rogue all the time on that night. So Rogue is a great, great brewery from the Pacific Northwest, and they make more styles of beer probably than any other brewery in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great chance to try so many different beers in one sitting.
Great. Well, let's talk about the three beers. Well, we already talked about the DC Chop House First Saison. District Chop House. Sorry about that. First Saison. Let's talk about Dave's beer quickly.
All right.
So this is like a cup of coffee.
Well, it's delicious. That's the Southern Belle.
Mm-hmm.
It's our take on an Imperial Brown Ale. Basically, Mike, who is our head brewer, and myself, we design all of our beers together and brew together.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of us is a huge fan of the brown style, so we were kind of tasked
with... What is a brown style? What does that mean?
A brown is usually a malt-forward beer, so you're tasting a lot more of the malts and the sweetness of the malts rather than the bitterness of a hops or, you know, a huge yeast profile that you'll get out of, you know, traditional Belgian ales.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike and I were kind of tasked with the challenge of brewing a brown ale that we actually liked.
Okay.
So what we did was we brewed that with toasted pecans. And we also gave it our signature.
Did you just throw it all
in
there?
Wait. Because here's a danger I see.
Mm.
I see the danger. One of the problems, because my brain is like a sieve. It just goes in and out. And when we talk wine, that's kind of what happens. I'm like, is there a danger of beer becoming so sort of complex and delicate and effete that in a while some people are going to be intimidated and scared off because...
Only if you drink it with a tie on.
Well, I think that's partially the responsibility.
I'm the comedian here, not you.
It's both the consumer, but that's also, I mean, that's something that a lot of people in this room have some responsibility over. Greg is beer director and kind of beer guru here in this town at Churchkey. Myself in my old role as beer director at the Big Hunt. Part of what the responsibility of the people in the craft beer community is to kind of make sure we don't let this get out of control. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with pushing the envelope and trying new things. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to get that pretension on there and you don't want to start acting smug about it. What you really want to do is, I know for myself and for Mike as well, we viewed it more as chefing as opposed to just brewing. I mean, you look at your ingredients and you want to highlight different flavor profiles. And I think that with the availability of all the fresh ingredients that we can get, we have the opportunity to brew some really amazing beers.
There is that danger, you know.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with raising the bar, which is clearly what they're doing.
Beer is a plebeian. No, beer is for the people. And so the question is,
wine is for the people too, you know. I mean, all these kinds of drinks are for everyone. If you look at it that way, then that's how you're going to see it.
You are talking when I'm talking. I'm just saying, there's a danger there of scaring off people because
okay, I have to wrap you up. I just got the wrap up.
So complex and artistic.
Okay, this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie.
I hate you. You know that, right?
Know. And we are sipping and slurping beers.
Yeah, sipping and slurping.
I've only had a sip.
Slipped and slurped.
Anyway, we'll be back in just a sec.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers. September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
Job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview.
Yeah.
And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association, and this station.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
All right, everybody, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're talking beer. We're talking D.C. Beer Week, which is next week. What is that, the 12th through the 18th? Did I do that right?
It is. But it's really kicking off on the 9th.
Yeah.
That's right. Three Stars Brewing Company launching at, guess where?
Turkey. You know what? If this was like one of those, I was going to say, if this was one of those shows,
I'm going to be accused of payola.
Every time you say Church Key, right, you take a shot.
Every time you say Church Key, you hand me $10. All right. So we've got a lot of different beers out on the table, and that's one of the things that I think, you know, when I was talking before about the danger of maybe it becoming intimidating the way that whole wine viniculture is intimidating. We have a little store near our house that just started carrying tons of craft beers, and you walk in there, and they're beers I've never heard of, never seen, never everything. And I guess the question is, where can somebody, you know, the layperson go to get a beer education?
Well, during DC Beer Week, that's one of the focuses of the organization and of the week, is to kind of open it up and have enough events that people who aren't surrounded by craft beer culture can come out and try new things. In addition to what we're trying to do with the actual event this year, there's always the web is a great resource. DC Homebrewers Club here in DC offers courses and basically meetings where people just get together and
drink beer
and discover like a style. So they'll focus on a style for the meeting, be it a porter or an IPA or whatever. And even people who are not exposed to this on a regular basis can come in and learn like what are the profiles you're looking for and what really makes a great IPA or a, you know, a run of the mill beer. So there's a lot of education available. You just got to kind of reach out and touch somebody.
I like that.
Yeah. Barrett from the District Chop House. Let's talk about.
I would just recommend also just sticking your head in your local brewery. We brewers are very approachable.
Okay.
We really don't have too far to run.
You can sit.
And oh, thank you. Yep. But I like talking about what I do. I'm very passionate about what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And my office doors normally open within reasonable hours. So.
Well, I mean, but do you... right.
Otherwise, it's closed. And, yeah.
Noon to one
well,
every
let's
day.
Let's talk about what you just poured. Because this, I mean, just smelling it, it doesn't smell anything like beer.
Correct. What we're tasting now is up constantly at the District Chop House. It is our famous bourbon stout.
Okay.
Don't be scared. Okay. Do you like bourbon?
I do like bourbon.
Do you like beer?
I'm okay with beer.
Oh, well.
I'm getting there. I'm getting an education on beer.
So what I do is
Is bourbon an aphrodisiac?
Pretty much every alcohol.
All booze is an aphrodisiac.
Katie, bar the door.
But I brew oatmeal stout, and then I age it in Woodford Reserve barrels for about 2 to 3 months.
But it's amazing how much of so you're not adding any bourbon to this at all. It's just the barrel?
Correct.
Okay. But it's amazing how much of that.
Well, it soaks it up from the wood.
I know, but that's amazing, don't you think?
There's a lot of flavor transfer depending on the residence time of the beer in the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
But I get them shipped once they are emptied.
Okay.
And the bourbon that was aging in there is pre-blended or cut. So you get it's a lot stronger than bourbon that you would get off the shelf.
Now, there's no carbonation in this at all.
Correct. This is, once again, cask conditioned.
Okay. So that's what that means? No carbonation? Go ahead. Jump in. No.
It is naturally carbonated.
Okay.
So the fermentation process, there's a second fermentation process that is contained within the vessel that helps carbonate the beer. Adds a little bit of carbonation, but it isn't to the levels of where most beer is.
Okay. Well, Greg, let me just ask you. I mean, for people who are tasting all these different beers and educating them, I mean, are they looking for carbonation? Do you know what I mean? Like, are they shocked when they taste something like this? Or like, where are the bubbles?
Yeah, they are. I mean, but this is back to the whole question of how do we keep this approachable? And it's all about service and education. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the big thing is that at our restaurants, we hire on personality alone, and then we teach from there.
We should add right in.
I knew you had something to say.
Sam Nellis is going
to
be.
Our son is dying.
We're putting our son under Greg's wing.
Right.
We're taking away his driver's license and putting him under Greg's wing.
Yeah. No driving with me. So we teach, and then we just try to extend that to the guests. So, for instance, if you come in and you're like, "What's this cask ale all about?" They're going to be able to tell you about it beforehand. We'll get you some sips of everything just to showcase it. And I think that one of the great things about it, the lower carbonation, is that it's not as gassy. You don't get as full as quickly.
Right.
And the flavors really spread out all over your palate. And so, like you were talking about, you know, kind of fizzy yellow lagers, alternative lagers before, they need that effervescence and that coldness. That's what the flavor comes from them.
Okay.
But when you have aromatics and beautiful taste in beer, you don't need bold effervescence, and you don't need it to be ice cold.
Right. Well, which is something that a lot of people don't understand.
Right.
They think all beer should be ice cold.
Right.
And at all your places, you're all serving beer much warmer.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, like cask ale, 55 degrees all the time. And then even at Birch and Barley, we in Churchill, we have different temperature zones for all of the kegs and all of the bottles.
I almost yelled, drink! But so let's talk about the Blue Jacket beer that you poured.
Sure.
It has a real sour smell, but it doesn't come across that way when you sip it.
No, it doesn't.
I feel like it's sour. I love it.
No,
but really? I like it. Yeah. You don't taste it?
It smells...
I smell sour.
Basically, sweet to me.
Yeah, okay. It's a sweet plum. So Megan went out.
She's a girl.
She went out to the brewery. It's actually kind of wine-like. I mean, a sweet wine taste. She went out to the brewery in Southern California, and they brewed this beer. It's a Belgian-style quadruple intensely strong dark ale. And it's about 10.5%. The kicker with this, one of the things she did was really cool. She took dextrose and she caramelized it.
What is dextrose?
It's a sugar.
Okay.
That is it's like
glucose, lactose, lactose.
And glucose and fructose make sucrose, which is like table sugar. So
okay.
If you break that down, it's a simpler sugar that's been caramelized to give it some body and some sweetness. And then after it was done fermenting while it was conditioning, literally added a pound per gallon of Italian plum puree.
Oh wow.
So that's all in this beer.
Those are the long plums, right?
Yeah, they're long, like they're very, very dark purple on the exterior.
My head is spinning.
Why?
That's what cool. Well, you're looking at somebody who had to cheat to get through chemistry in high school. So it just sounds very complex.
It's cool.
But look at what the result is. I mean, the result is delicious.
It tastes pretty good. This is the first time it's been poured.
Do you just experiment? Yeah. Do you just, like, screw around until you know, with things that you think are going
to
work?
Well, for me, the fun part is I get to screw around, like, on paper. I come up with these wild and crazy ideas, and then Megan goes and, well, first of all, she tempers me, and, you know, and then she goes and she figures out how to make it work. So it's a cool team process.
This is really delicious.
Very good. And Kyle, let's bring you back just a little bit. You're just not here to drink beer, you know.
Yeah, where's the food?
You cook.
Virgin Barley Church.
Drink. So you add a lot of the beer that you work at Birch and Barley and Churchgate to your food. How do you incorporate it, and how are you keeping it seasonal?
You know, it's very rare that we actually cook with the beer.
Okay.
Beer is it's a cooked product already. You know, it's when it comes out of the tap or out of the bottle, it's so good, it's so ready. We approach it more like, let's cook for the beer. You know, it's the same thing with cooking for a fine wine.
So when he brews a beer or brings in a new beer, you got to try it to see what you're inspired to cook.
Yeah, it's awesome.
With it.
We sit down and we taste and we're like, oh man, you know what would be really great with this? What about sweetbreads? Mm-hmm. You know, let's do something really cool.
I know, don't say anything.
You know, that sounds a lot better than what I do. The hell with Sam. I'm coming to work for you.
You work for me.
There you go. Yeah, I'd be scared.
No, but I think
you'd
be
mean. Don't give that man a knife. Let me just put it to you that way. Blood will be everywhere.
Right through the head.
But so you don't use the beer for marinades or anything like that?
It's pretty rare. Usually what we do is we finish a product with the beer.
Okay, like a vinegar or a good olive oil.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you throw a lambic on some popped oysters, I mean, what more do you need? It's got the bubbles, it's got the flavor.
Right, very cool. What about you, Teddy? You're a chef.
I've always been incorporating beer into the cooking process a lot. It's a big trial and error thing. It took many years to try and figure out how to balance beer when you're adding, you know, a Belgian double to a dish. You have to balance it out with maybe some sugar, but you don't want to add sweetness to it. So you want to add something that gives your mind the sense of sweetness, like vanilla or cinnamon, mm-hmm. to bring that beer out in the dish and also marry it with the other flavors of the dish. So it's been a long, arduous process, but it's been working out really well.
And how are people with the beer meal pairings overall? I mean, where you all work, at all the different restaurants, I mean, how are you finding that people like pairing food and beer?
I think it opens it up to a lot more people than just beer drinkers.
Mm-hmm.
I find that a lot more when I go out to beer events and beer dinners, I see tons of couples.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it's kind of been a nice way of incorporating, you know, what's been traditionally a quote-unquote male hobby, drinking beer with your boys. Now it's like...
Boyies.
Now there's an opportunity, though, to go out and go to, like, a really nice beer dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just going out to the bar and drinking beer and eating chicken wings. It's going out to, like, you know, a chef-driven restaurant like Granville Moore's and experiencing a really world-class meal and pairing it with great beers. So it's something you can share.
I think he's looking for a freebie there.
No, actually.
Wearing the three-star shirt?
No, he started preview.
I'm a billboard.
I know.
Wait,
he's a total billboard.
The minute Dave said that, Teddy started preening like a cockatiel.
No. We keep on mentioning the boys of the beer world, but the fastest-growing segment of the craft beer population is females.
Hmm.
As well, look, Megan, head brewer over at, you know, Blue Jacket, the female... representation in the craft beer industry is growing dramatically. And that's what I feel, especially at Granville's, one of our biggest consumers of the beers. The women are bringing in their husbands and their boyfriends because they're like, oh, I had this sour beer. I had this type of beer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different type of palate and it's a different type
of way. Because beer is more diverse now. It's not just the same, you know, Budweiser, Bud Light taste.
Exactly.
So,
all right, we're going to wrap it up for just a quick sec, but we're going to be right back. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're still talking beer. We'll be back in just a sec.
The patio is now open at Founding Farmers in Potomac. Dining al fresco in Montgomery County was never better. It's an idyllic setting, away from traffic, comfortable seating in a luscious garden setting. Dine al fresco on cool evenings around the fire pit. Founding Farmers in Montgomery County, just off Route 270 at Montrose Road West. A delicious getaway for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and weekend brunch. Founding Farmers, award-winning menus of great scratch-made foods with ingredients from American family farmers and from across the region. See the menu at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
Come out for the 6th annual Davies Ride on Saturday, August 25th. Davies Ride is a time to honor the men and women in the armed forces, and the event benefits the Hope for the Warriors organization. Registration opens at 9 a.m., and the ride departs at 11 from 14631 Minneville Road in Woodbridge, Virginia. A $20 donation to the Hope for Warriors organization is requested at registration. Davies Ride, Saturday, August 25th in Woodbridge, Virginia.
Hello there. Do you recognize my voice? That's right. I'm a professional announcer. Companies all over the world hire me to make their offers sound more compelling, irresistible. I persuade people just like you to buy shoes, cars, dial 1-800 numbers, and act now while supplies last. It's useless to resist. I'm a trained professional. My voice has power. I get paid to talk, and I can talk about anything to anybody, except when it comes to talking to my parents about aging. No matter what I try, I can't seem to talk about the aging issue. I want to ask them what they want, what their plans are, but instead I end up telling them about my latest gig. Talking to my parents about their care as they get older should be easy for a professional like me, but it's not.
No matter who you are, it's not easy talking about aging. For help getting started, go to voa.org/talk, a message from Volunteers of America.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does 3 decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time. But the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit CapitalAreaFoodBank.org.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're talking D.C. Beer Week. Before we get back to our guests, I just want to quickly thank everybody that makes this show possible. If you're not a sponsor of the show, don't feel bad. Just pony up, for crying out loud. Georgetown Bagelry, best bagels in town. Neighborhood Restaurant Group, that's the Two Rusticos, Evening Star, Tallulah, Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley, and Church Key.
And drink!
Also, our friends at the Two Founding Farmers and the Central Farm Markets in Bethesda, Rockville, and someplace else. Where are they, Nick?
I'm sorry.
Bethesda?
Oh, Rockville and Bethesda. And I don't know what the third one is. Yeah, he mentioned a new one, but that was total news to me.
Right,
so we have to
bad.
Get the news on that. Yeah.
But go to centralfarmmarkets.org and you can find out.
And the Rockville one is phenomenal, and
it's
that's
huge.
On Saturdays.
It's like 50 vendors.
Yeah, it's amazing.
All right, so to get back to D.C. Beer Week, we've got Jeff Wells sitting up there. Jeff, you got a lot of local brewers that are featured. Why don't you tell us a little bit about them?
Well, that's. Well, I think we're going to highlight a little bit now some more regional breweries as well.
Local, regional, they both end in O. So.
Yeah, and that's kind of what, you know, we talked about collaboration and really camaraderie and things like that. And really, it's pretty much for DC Beer Week, this has been about 6-7 planning sessions, and pretty much everybody checked their egos out the door. And it's all about getting together for the greater good of the beer culture in Washington, D.C. So that's even true in the distribution realm, which I myself am employed by. So actually, I brought 4 different beers from 4 different distributors today. actually three different distributors. But so to kind of highlight, these are some of the pioneering craft breweries in America, in addition to some of the events we're doing across town. So this first one we're doing is from New York City. Brooklyn Brewery, Sirachi Ace, which
it looks like a champagne bottle.
Exactly. And you talked about carbonation. This is actually really how beer, all beer used to be carbonated besides real ale, was through this method, which pretty much is method champenoise. This is like 90% natural carbonation. So Greg talked about forced carbonation. This is truly yeast and sugar reproducing inside the bottle. So if you pick up the bottle, it's like a champagne bottle. It's very heavy. And this is a delicious beer. The first beer we tried, Barrett's Great Rendition of a Saison. This is also a Saison brewed with Japanese hops.
Okay.
So that's a great beer. We also have the Allagash Curio, which is another bourbon-aged beer. This is their triple-aged and Jim Beam bourbon barrels. Oh, I should also mention the Brooklyn Brewery is doing a great event at Kramer Books Afterwards Cafe, which has been a big success. This will be the third year, which is a beer and cheese tasting on Monday, the 13th of August.
Fun.
And then Teddy mentioned the great dinner we're doing. That's a collaboration beer dinner with Allagash and Oma Gangs. This is the Allagash Curio. Then I brought one of the pioneering breweries in America, Sierra Nevada, which can be argued really kind of started craft beer in the West Coast, them and Anchor Brewing Company. And not until recently you would hear this sound in craft beer cans. And so there's been a real explosion in canned craft beer. So
why? What's the sudden love of cans?
Well, before it was kind of...
You can say that louder.
Shotgun.
Okay, there you go.
But you can kind of
argue. Do you want to explain that, Barrett? Do you want to give everybody details how to do a shotgun?
I'll demonstrate.
No, I'm waving him off.
Okay.
No, but similar to have, you know, like screw cap wine, same sort of thing. It's actually a better way to store beer. When I say store, you know, beer as like any food product, which beer is, has three enemies, which is light, heat, and oxygen, which light or heat equals oxidization. So it's actually a better way to store beer in a package. So it was sort of perceived before that it wasn't as classy and, as you know, as nice of a presentation, but it's actually the opposite.
So it's your version of boxed wine.
That's right. Correct.
But let me ask you something about the cans. I mean, nothing about the metal leaches into the flavor. Like, it doesn't...
Manufacturers got... Line? Yeah, the manufacturers developed...
They're plastic lined?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Neutral. Yeah, they're neutral. The manufacturers of cans years ago developed a new way of doing it where you're not going to be leaching any of that metallic taste that everyone was worried about when we were shotgunning beers in high school.
I don't think we were worried about it.
I mean college. College.
In middle school.
Well, so let me ask you, for the local brewers here, are you looking to put your stuff in cans?
No, actually, Mike and I will be putting all of our beer in 750 milliliter champagne presentations with corks and cages.
Okay.
And that's a preference of ours. Our beers are really intended to, many of the styles that we do are intended to be cellared. So it's something that you can put in a climate controlled room, and like a very nice wine, you can set it and forget it, come back to it in 6 months, 2 years, and enjoy a totally different product that is basically gone through a transformation while sitting in your cellar.
I was going to say DC Brow does all their beers in cans, excluding some special release 22-ounce. So that's a good example of a brewery that pretty much only does cans. Mm-hmm. It's DC Brow, another great DC brewery.
Okay. And so what about you, Greg? What about you with the cans? What's your take?
My take on it. Blue Jack is going to be mostly draft and cask.
Okay.
Just because we'll be serving so much on site. We also are going to use some larger format bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing with cans is that I think they're good. They're great for certain styles, like, crisp, refreshing beers like Pilsners, Kolsch's, lighter beers that are really hop driven. Are great because they don't lose any of that aromatic they lose the aromatic intensity a lot more slowly than they would in bottle.
Okay.
And they are kept fresher. That said, you know, Sirachi Ace, the beer that Jeff just poured from Brooklyn, would be ruined by being put into a can. It wouldn't have that same natural re-fermentation and that big foamy effervescence. Because if you try to re-ferment in a can, I know some people claim they're doing it, you could rupture the can. Because of the pressure of the CO2.
Oh,
and also, even if you do re-ferment in a can, it's going to be very mild. So these corked and caged beers should stay in their bottles with corks and cages. So cans are not the cure-all for everything.
And how long do beers last in general?
It depends.
If they're kept appropriately, if they're kept correctly.
Well, most beer is pasteurized before putting in bottles or cans, excluding the cask-conditioned beer, re-fermented beers like in large bottles. But ideally, it depends on the style.